Dear children of trauma, driving along the country roads on Christmas morning, I had 2 hours to sink into the seat and into the processing of life's events. I began to think about the choices of everyone in my childhood, and for the first time, I can see that every single choice was made out of their need to be loved. I'm sharing this in hopes that it might help change perspectives and elicit healing and freedom from suffering. This realization does not invalidate the negative effects that the choices of adults have on children of trauma, for those are still real and still worthy of having been felt and healed and held. But to remove myself and look at the situation objectively as a bystander, I can see that each of the choices that the four adults in my childhood made were all made out of their individual need to be loved by another. They were not made out of an intention to cause me harm. They were made out of love. Or they were made out of a fear of rejection, or a fear of not being enough, or a fear of not receiving love. I was simply caught in the crosshairs of it all. There are repeating patterns in family units, sometimes generations back, and to stop it, we have to be aware of it. A person, like our parents, feels love for another and wants to be loved in return. That person, from feeling not enough, from whatever, their childhood, their past relationships, they have a fear of rejection and/or abandonment. Even if a child from a healthy background feels these fears, but the difference is in the reaction to perceived possible rejection. The emotionally healthy person would lean on their resilience to the rejection and certainly not plan for it or expect it. And if it eventually happened, they'd heal and move on. A child of trauma, though, reacts differently, subconsciously, out of our awareness or control. This is where CPTSD and SPTSD wreak havoc. It's in the reaction. CPTSD is complex, it means since birth, and SPTSD means a single isolated event. And the triggered reaction is where the havoc happens, and the triggered reaction is out of our control because it lies in the nervous system. So being triggered, which is the same hurtful scenario as one in the past that did a lot of damage, results in an emotional flashback, like the war vet who hears a car backfiring and they are in a flashback thinking that they're in the war zone again, so they hit the ground and take cover in the grocery store, for instance. Their body and nervous system and mind does not know that they aren't in the same traumatic situation as before. This is what being triggered means, along with blurry vision, impaired hearing, unable to understand. Anything that is happening in real time is significantly distorted because the person is being triggered into an emotional flashback and are no longer present moment, but instead, they're in the past somewhere, wherever the original traumatic event occurred. It's the same for emotional trauma. Once you feel rejection or abandonment or abuse or neglect or whatever the past trauma that's being triggered is coming, you are triggered into an emotional flashback and you will handle it subconsciously like you did the first time. When you were 3 years old or 5 years old or 16 or 24, you will handle it the same way because it's all subconscious. Your nervous system took over in the triggering and will now choose for you which coping mechanism to use to respond for self-preservation, fight, flight, fawn, or freeze. Until we have awareness that this is what's happening, we will forever repeat this subconscious pattern. With awareness, we will be able to recognize what being triggered feels like and can take steps to work with the fight or flight response, lessening its damage to those around us. So when children of trauma experience harm at the hands of their parents, this is what's happening with the parent in that moment. They were triggered at some point throughout the day into feeling not good enough, aka not worthy of being loved. And they were involuntarily and without awareness propelled back into an emotional flashback, which triggers the subconscious coping mechanism of fight, flight, fawn, or freeze. The children of trauma just happened to be there when it all spilled out. Young children often think of parents as inherently perfect, emotionally healthy individuals without any wounds of their own. But they fight, flight, freeze, and fawn with their spouses, friends, and children too. As a child, we don't understand and take it as them intending to cause us harm or not caring about us. And from the outside, yes, that's what it feels like and looks like, because they are so lost in their own wound or current emotional flashback, like the vet on the floor of the grocery store, they aren't aware of their impact on the people around them. They can't be aware of it during that time of emotional duress. So if they are triggered, they will treat those around them in either fight, with physical abuse or verbal abuse, flight, leaving altogether, which results in a fear of abandonment in their children, fawn, which is over-caretaking, enabling, neglecting the individual autonomy of the child to grow into a responsible, self-sufficient adult through the enabling, or freeze. They turn off all emotions, the unaffectionate parent, the detached parent, neglecting the emotional needs of the child. These are all coping mechanisms that, for the most part, the person is unaware of. They just know they aren't happy right now, not fully understanding the extent of their impact on those around them. As children, of course, we feel the hit the hardest, especially from those we are supposed to feel safe and loved and protected by. Abuse is a trigger response. You were not deserving of it, no matter how you behaved. Neglect is a trigger response. You were not deserving of it, no matter how many needs you had. Abandonment is a trigger response. You were not deserving of it, no matter how challenging or difficult you may have been to take care of. Yes, those things still happened, and yes, those things shouldn't have happened, but they didn't happen because you deserved them out of behavior or who you were or are. They happened because of the toxic wounds of those who displayed the abusive behavior toward you. Because they were triggered from not feeling enough, and their fight or flight or fawn or freeze took over out of self-preservation. This realization has completely removed any bitterness, resentment, anger, etc. that I had toward the situation and those involved for me, and my hope is the same impact for you. We suffer as adults, not because we had a shitty childhood, but because we believe that we deserved it. We suffer as adults when we believe that we are not enough to be loved, because we didn't feel enough to be loved as a child. We suffer as adults when we don't listen to our inner voice for guidance and choice making, and instead listen to what others think is best for us, because we turned our inner voice off during childhood when it was always deemed as wrong or bad, out of survival. But that was our parents' wounds, not ours. We don't have to carry the feeling of not being enough or being too much that was passed down to us during childhood. We can decide that they treated us that way because of who they are, not because of who we are. And we can begin to make different choices moving forward, knowing that we are enough and that we do matter. Taking out the intent to hurt and replacing it with an intent to feel loved and avoid rejection puts the child trauma into a new perspective, a freeing perspective. We get messed up as adults when we believe what they told us about ourselves as children. We hide those things we were told that weren't good about us into our shadow. We create an ego to hide the shadow from the critical eyes of the world. Or a mask. So for example, if you were always called, if you were always called stupid as a child, for instance, then that would be your shadow, the fear of being seen as stupid. Then your ego, or your mask, will never allow itself to be wrong because it's covering the shadow of being perceived as stupid. Ego protects the shadow, and the inner child is hiding in that shadow, waiting to be accepted by you, flaws and all. And I'll say that again. Ego protects the shadow. And our inner child is hiding in that shadow, waiting to be accepted by you. In order to heal, we have to remember who we were before the abuse happened. And if abuse happened at birth, then we have to remember our pre-human essence, our soul. We have to remember that we are enough and that we are deserving of love and that we matter regardless of how we were treated as children by wounded people who didn't know how else to act because of the things that they were taught when they were children, because of how they learned a parent loves a child. We do the best we can at any given time, given the tools that we have at our disposal in that moment. And it's the same for the toxic parent as well. If they could have done better, they would have. And it's as simple as that. But we can do better. We can take those tools, which means the things that we've learned along the way, and we can change our reactions and our perspectives to others and of ourselves. We can start by no longer caring for ourselves as adults the way we were cared for as children. We can stop self-abandoning, which would be not listening to our own wants, desires, inner voice, our gut or our intuition, not following our heart, etc. Self-abandonment also shows itself in addictions to substances that numb our feelings by not giving ourselves the chance or the space to actually feel the feelings. Some substances that numb can also include distractions like working too much, being too busy, etc. So in the sense of stop self-abandoning, I want to say that it is safe for you to express your feelings now. The war is over. We can stop self-neglecting, which is not taking care of our core basic needs. I'll eat later, for example, or living in a state of discomfort or hunger, treating yourself like your needs don't really matter, or it's fine to put them off until later, not eating, not sleeping, not resting. And I'm here to tell you that it is safe to expect your needs to be easily, quickly, and lovingly met when requested now. The war is over. We can stop self-abusing, placing ourselves in situations that we know aren't healthy for us, or stop holding ourselves and others to impossibly high standards of perfectionism, which is why I don't edit out when I clear my throat, or say or make a mistake. Because I'm telling you that it's safe to make a mistake now. The war is over. And we can begin to love ourselves the way that we should have been loved as a child, the way that we deserve to be loved. We can stand up and decide that we matter. Our feelings matter. Our voice matters. Our wants and needs matter. They are not silly and they are not too much. We can stop crap fitting our lives. We can stop saying, this will do, or this is okay, I've had worse. And stop self-abandoning by accepting crap situations and instead either give a hell yes or a not at all when we're presented with a choice. No more, this will do. We mastered survival. Now it's time to thrive. To hell with, this is all right because I've been through worse. If it's not good enough for your child, then it's not good enough for you either. End of story. Most importantly, we can decide to take a look at how our wounds, we can decide to take a look at our own wounds as a result of those inflicted upon us as children, when we learn the rules of how the world and how people work, and decide to keep them in awareness, hold them until we can heal them, and not let our triggers negatively impact others the way that others' triggers have impacted us. You matter. And if someone had made sure that your abuser or your perpetrator knew that they mattered and that they were loved when they were kids, then the cycle could have stopped there and never reached you. So how amazing of a feeling is it to know that we have the power to stop this repetitive cycle? Awareness is key. We can use it to open the door to freedom.